Paige Rechko is a dancer who believes in how what she teaches can inspire and empower students, transcending age, culture, and abilities. During her 7 years at Creative Arts Guild in Dalton, Georgia, she helped build and produce The Snow Queen, its annual classical ballet. I spoke with Paige about her work as one of the teaching artists in our community through the Wolf Trap program at UTC's Arts-Based Collaborative, ABC at UTC. Paige, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Do you remember when you first were inspired by dance?
I remember the first really most impactful moment. I think I was 7 and I was laying on my parents' bed watching great performances on PBS, and it was showing Cats. And I know people have a love-hate relationship with Cats, but it has some really beautiful dancing. And I remember watching it and immediately afterward was like, I'm going to be a dancer. I'm going to be a star. You grow up and things become more real. But that really was like the turning point where my parents kind of started to key in on the fact that I was probably a creative person.
Tell us more about your study of dance.
So I actually started kind of late. Most people, when you talk to them about their dance training, they started when they were 3 or 5 years old, or they were very young. But I didn't start training until I was 12. But it was very instant for me. I got into dance class, and then immediately I started by taking 2 classes a week. And then by the next year, I was in 4 classes a week, and then just more and more and more. So I was kind of fast-tracked, which you can do with an older student because they have the discipline and the understanding to do that. But right away, I just knew like this is what I was going to do in some capacity. So I kind of, even as a kid, treated it as a job. After graduating high school, I got a degree with Brunel University in dance studies. And there I really fell in love with the technical aspect of dance, kind of the more backstage part of dance and teaching and production and the theater part where you're building everything. That's kind of where I found my groove. So I focused a lot on that while I was in college.
And of course, there's a difference between wanting to become a dancer, becoming a dancer, and then wanting to teach dance, and then becoming a dance teacher.
Yeah. I really dislike the idea that those who can't teach, those who can't cut it and be a star, they end up teaching. I think that, first off, I think that it's pretty insulting to all teachers because most of us have a pretty respectful idea of teachers, right? Especially nowadays. Like, I'm sure all of us have great amount of respect for our teachers today who have to just do so much. But also, there's no better way to learn your subject than learning how to teach the subject, because it just broadens your horizon and your understanding and your connection with the subject when you have to get that information out of your brain and into somebody else's brain or body. You have to be so in tune with such a depth of knowledge in order to get that across to somebody else.
With that in mind, tell us more about some of your strategies and residency experiences.
So as just a traditional dance teacher, some of my experience has been, especially for a creative person, teaching is great because there's always a change. It's always ever changing. Even if your subject material never changes, just because your students change day to day and then your classes change year to year, it's always evolving. And then your understanding of the content is always evolving. And so for me personally as a teacher, the challenge is always, how do I get this same information who I could teach it one way last year and it worked great? That strategy might not work well with this group. The challenge is always to get that same content into another group. And so there's a lot of experimentation to it. You just try things with the knowledge that this might not work, but I'm going to see how it goes. And then I can pivot if I need to. And then really observing your students deeply and taking some time to reflect on how it worked with their students and find out what their experience with maybe your experiments or just what you normally teach, how that was for them. And sometimes that just means asking, hey, what did you learn today? As a dance teacher, I ask, how did that combination feel? What did you notice in your body? What did you notice in the music? So I start to ask them for cues on what was their experience and what are they actually retaining and what are they learning and growing from? And then I can edit if I need to, or I can build upon a principle standard if I need to. As far as residencies go, you know, I take a lot of those skills that I use in the dance class, and then I get to apply them to arts integration and also reading skills, which is really exciting. Because there's a lot that we do in a ballet class, which is a lot about input and output. I see something, I model it, now I can perform it. And when a student is first learning how to read or use language skills, that model works really well. And so we get to use some of those habit-forming skills that we use in the dance class and then apply them in a traditional classroom setting.
And then describe more how you applied what you've been talking about in the past few minutes to your work as a teaching artist as part of the Arts-Based Collaborative at UTC.
So I worked a lot with the Wolf Trap program. That's where I was introduced to the Arts-Based Collaborative. And their whole goal is to, number one, get arts into the classroom. Because we all know, like, the first thing to go when we're looking at saving money in education is the arts. And so it kind of gives teachers the power to put arts back into the classroom and meet those art standards without necessarily requiring a huge investment. Of course, we want to invest in the arts, but we've got to use what we can. So that kind of gives them the power and the knowledge to be able to add that to their classroom. And then Wolf Trap, also, their goal is to build literacy skills. So it's really about getting those young students starting to build skills that will then lead them to be successful students later. And one of the things that I'm really passionate about is that dance actually has a really strong scientific record of helping to build the communication part of our brain. There's a lot that we do in a dance classroom that actually activates and triggers parts of your brain that help build communication skills, which again, that's literacy, really. And I said before, it's input, output. That's a big part of literacy, is learning how to get the information out or the information in and then process it and then repeat it or comprehend it to the way where you can explain it yourself. Well, a lot of that part of your brain that is able to do that is triggered by doing locomotor and non-locomotor skills. So a really simple example is skipping, right? There has been a lot of talk in the dance world about how skipping is not really taught in dance classes anymore. And that's a travesty because that's a really fundamental developmental part of your brain when you're really little, is learning how to skip. And part of that is because it teaches cross-lateral brain activity. It builds that cross-lateral brain activity, which you need for, again, input and output. So just developing material that will meet the standards that we have to meet in public schools as teachers, but then also puts those movements like skipping, marching, galloping into a way where it's like you can put it in your lesson plan and it's going to meet certain requirements. But at the same time, we know that it's going to trigger our brain and make those synapses start to form. So then your student's brain is a lot more pliable and it's ready to learn. And it's got space where it can put that information in there and start learning and building habits. All of that really goes hand in hand.
Reflecting on your time as a teaching artist, because that took place before the pandemic, when you think about the impact of art beyond art, what comes to mind?
I think we as a society could do a better job of accepting, like, everybody's an artist. We've all heard it. Art is expression, right? It's just a way to express. You're expressing an idea, a point of view, a feeling. When we're as dancers, sometimes all we're expressing is that I just really like this music. And then we're trying to express how this music makes us feel. That's a really simple form of expression, but it can be powerful because in general, humans are empathetic creatures. We can see somebody else's emotions or see somebody else's circumstance and have sympathy and empathy and understanding of what they're going through. And so that's important for us because we are designed to be cultural and around others. Right now, I think art really could have a really huge impact positively. Creating could have a really positive impact on us as a culture. We're all going through a lot. And our kids, too, especially, are going through a lot. Their worlds are, I mean, just as much as we as adults are like, okay, well, now we have to do this. And now we have to do this. And now, well, we thought we had to do that, but now we have to do this instead. You know, it's like every single day is new information. None of us is really sure what to do. As stressful as that is for us as adults, try to imagine how that is for a child who really doesn't have a lot of power and autonomy for how they're going to react to those circumstances. So using art could be really a key, and honestly, in a lot of ways, it could be an inexpensive key to managing these experiences that we're having.
If people want more information about your work with ABC at UTC, they can go to utc.edu/ABC-arts. And if they want to contact ABC at UTC, they can email abcarts@utc.edu. If people want to reach out to you directly, Paige, how can they contact you?
My email is paige-retchko@utc.edu.
All right. Paige, thanks so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.